Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Police under the law can confiscate assets from suspects, and the familiar cases of drug kingpins losing their airplanes, houses, and boats makes intuitive sense as a punishment, even if a judge isn't making the decision as part of a criminal sentencing. But why would cops around the U.S. be permitted to confiscate billions of dollars from thousands of drivers, even though they weren't charged with any crimes? According to a new report from the Washington Post, police across the U.S. have taken $2.5 billion from people without a warrant or pressing criminal charges since 2001. The justification for these seizures comes from something called civil asset forfeiture laws. Robert O'Hara of the Washington Post joins us. He's co-author of a three-part series on all this. Robert, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
I have to say, quite frankly, I do not understand what is going on here. I mean, what is this? How does this work?
Well, what it is a confluence of well-intended powers. One of them goes back to the drug wars that you mentioned. And the aim of the civil asset forfeiture law was to take down very clever, powerful drug kingpins by taking their stuff when the government had enough of a belief that it was ill-gotten gains. And police did this for years, increasingly through the 90s. And after 9/11, the Justice Department, DEA, and various parts of the Department of Homeland Security thought this would be a good idea to encourage among local officers, towns, county deputies, and such to use this approach called highway interdiction to go after bulk cash. And it appears that many of the police realized that they could do good and do themselves well by being very, very aggressive in the hunt for cash.
But I just don't understand what the mission is here. We're not like hunting for cash to stop terrorists. Are we hunting for cash just to annoy drivers and, you know, make money for the police? Where's the cash go?
Remember, go back to 9/11.
Right.
There was a great deal of fear. A lot of the smugglers, putative terrorists, presumably, did not go to the airports because of the increased security there. And hit the highways. And so now there's a new mandate for police. And then suddenly there was a cottage industry of trainers teaching them the techniques of not only how to search through a car, but how to talk to drivers and how to present their findings in court. And tens of thousands of police were trained in highway interdiction, in many cases with financial support from the Justice Department and the Department of Homeland Security.
So let's say I'm a driver and I encountered one of these cops who'd been trained in the way that you describe. You know, what would happen? I mean, what would I be told? And, you know, how would they get me to empty my wallet?
There's a standard script that we developed out of reading scores, hundreds of court cases. And it turns out there's an approach that's taught by these schools, and it basically works this way. The Supreme Court has said that it's perfectly fine for police to use a traffic infraction, as long as there's a real traffic infraction, to make a stop. And that could be you drift across the center line, you didn't turn your turn signal on soon enough, or maybe you have tinted windows. They make the stop, and then they engage in a series of questions that are intended to find inconsistencies in the driver's story. Now, I should tell you that it seems clear to me in talking to dedicated law enforcement officials that this is a legitimate tool that, if used well, can help make us all safer. A lot of the police have used it to get warrantless searches. They say, I now see an inconsistency in the story. I see indicators of potential criminal activity. They think that a deodorizer hanging from the rearview mirror, trash on the floor, energy drinks, all of this stuff adds up. They use a phrase called the totality of the circumstances. And at some point, they may ask the driver for permission to search, or if their belief is strong enough, they may call in a dog, drug-sniffing dog. And either way, if the dog indicates there might be drugs or if the police have permission, they'll go into the car. And once they're in the car, they make so many stops that it seems that they make, on a fairly regular basis, hits, and they find cash, and then they decide whether it's likely to be used for criminal activity or drug running.
Well, that sort of move from a traffic violation to a suspicious inconsistency pattern, which results in a large search, is exactly what's going on here. This is audio from your investigation at the Washington Post. Let's listen.
Is there any large amounts of cash in the vehicle?
There's nothing.
Okay. Would it be okay if I did a quick search of the vehicle and just make sure there's nothing in there?
For what reason?
Well, it's just part of what we do out here.
And he's basically going from somebody didn't signal properly when they changed lanes to looking at a, you know, air freshener in the car, deodorizer, like you said, a radar detector, other inconsistencies in this suspect, John Anderson's answers. Did they actually get cash from this fellow?
They did. And the officer making that stop is the lead instructor for the leading training firm in the country. And what happened after that is they found 25,000 plus in money. Almost immediately after, the officer handcuffed this driver and began asking him to sign a waiver. And if he signed the waiver, the police said, you can go on your way. You can say that this isn't your money. And in the end, that's what happened.
And they took it.
They took it. In fact, on the video, he says, I'm going to take this money. Have you called the bank? He said to a colleague that was there.
So is this an overreach on the part of police? What's the next step here? And is the Justice Department expected to respond?
The overreach is not for me to say because I'm not, you know, expert enough in the law. But we did interview two constitutional law scholars, and both of them said that the 2+ hour stop became, quote, unlawful at about 14 minutes when he detained the driver to wait for the dog to come. The Justice Department in this case, presumably up to them to, if they're interested, to look at this case. The video is incredibly compelling viewing and, in fact, I think provides an essence of the entire investigation. And, of course, if you don't mind me saying, I would recommend people go and find it in our stories.
3-part series in the Washington Post, co-author Robert O'Hara, on police stopping people and seizing as much as $2.5 billion in cash without a warrant or pressing criminal charges, something that's gone on since 2001. Robert O'Hara, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Support for The Takeaway comes from TiVo. No need to switch TV inputs, remotes, or interfaces to access cable TV and streaming from Netflix and Hulu Plus. Learn more at TiVo.com.